Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS PM, taste the carpet to be sure. Dew Destructor, that must be a hotel room. There's a hotel art. I'm sorry, you are at a Taco Bell. How gritty was my clam? Wine Karens, the whiniest Karens. What kind of a pile are you looking at? App time, your quick questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
It's not actually true. It is in the morning.
Yeah. TMS AM in the PM in the AM.
In the AM, yeah. We had to switch things around. We'll explain that in a minute, but welcome to the PM edition of the show, dear patrons. Thanks for your support of the show. That is why you get this episode. I'm Scott Johnson here in Salt Lake City. And, of course, Brian, currently in San Francisco, California, or thereabouts. What's going on, man?
What are you doing? Yeah, just north of San Francisco in a town called Larkspur.
Yeah.
If you're familiar, so basically if you cross the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco, you go north, and then you continue on, you pass Sausalito, you pass Mill Valley, and then you get to Larkspur and some beautiful... Really, this might be the most beautiful part of California, this area north of San Francisco.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Beautiful rolling hills, fog just kind of cresting over the hills, little inlets and marinas, and everything's green, and everything, I think, costs $3.5 million. every house, you know, we're like, oh wow, look at that house, and you know, one of Chris Brown's brothers like, oh yeah, that's like a $3.5 million house.
Damn.
Like, oh okay, cool, let's go get some pizza. How much is that pizza? $3.5 million.
yeah, cost of living out there a little out of control,
little high, but yeah. But man, it is beautiful. And we set foot in San Francisco for a little bit yesterday. We took the ferry rather than driving in. Well, we don't have a car because we borrowed one of Chris Brown's brother's cars on Friday. We didn't have access to it yesterday. So we took the ferry. Ferry is great.
Yeah.
Took the ferry from Larkspur into the port of San Francisco, went right by Alcatraz. I took a picture of it for you.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
I don't think I sent it to you, but I need to.
Yeah.
I went down Fisherman's Wharf, got some clam chowder and some sourdough bread and some oysters on the half shell.
Did the clam chowder have sand in it? Because mine did.
Zero sand. It was fantastic clam chowder.
Damn it. Why did I get sand when I was there?
Because there's like a 25% chance that you're going to get sand. If you roll a one or a two, you're going to get sand.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the sand, and so
you
got lucky.
You've stayed away from clam chowder for that reason.
Yeah, I will rarely eat it, and when I do, I have to ask questions. Like,
yeah,
where have your clams been? How fresh are these? I know you weirdos on the East Coast think it's good to have sand in it, so you better tell me right now, is there sand in this? That's like, I go through that every time.
But, yeah, it's really awkward when you you know, you ask how are the clams and they reply, sir, you're at a Taco Bell.
But then I would say, no, I maintain this question. How are the clams?
How are your clams?
How are your clams doing? Well, anyway, well, so that's great. That's fun. That's fun to go to the old, or the touristy stuff.
Actually, going to San Francisco, and it was a very touristy thing. We walked all the way down the Embarcadero to the Buena Vista, which is a restaurant known for two things. Yeah. Number one, right there in the name, it's got an incredible view of San Francisco Bay. It's up on one of the hills in San Francisco, and you just look straight out and see San Francisco Bay and Alcatraz and the Golden Gate Bridge and the fog rolling in. Except because of COVID times. So with COVID going on, they had to switch to a lot of outdoor seating, which means that because it's kind of cool in San Francisco, like Mark Twain says, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
That's great.
That view is blocked now by a plastic room that they created. Like, basically, you know, what we're now calling outdoor seating, but prior to the pandemic, what we would have called a hot zone quarantine room.
Yeah, no kidding. So wait a minute. So like, it obscures the view now? You can't.
It totally obscures the view. So one of their two most prominent are the things you go to the Buena Vista for is no longer there. The other thing you go to the Buena Vista for is Irish coffee. They're known for having the best Irish coffee. Mm. And so our plan was to go there, then hook up with one of Chris Brown's brothers and his former partner, and then go back into Larkspur to meet up with his other brother and do a little party last night.
Yeah.
We got to the Buena Vista, and there was a line out the door. Those Irish coffees, super popular, and I'm not going to wait in a line for coffee, whiskey, whipped cream, and sugar. It's all, you know, I don't need it.
Yeah.
So we continued on, met up with a brother, made our way back to Larkspur, and had a really good evening, you know, mixing drinks, sitting out there in his backyard with some chairs, just a handful of us, talking stories about Chris Brown playing. Chris Brown brought out his ukulele and he's playing some music for us. And
that's great.
And then we decide in the town of Larkspur, which is a block away from his brother's house, the main street, there is something called the Downtown Wine Stroll.
Mm.
And
that sounds ibbot as hell to me. It's so ibbot, everything. Yeah.
And basically, it's all of these people setting up, all of these local vineyards setting up little tables with their wines. You buy a glass at the entrance, and then you just walk down the street, and they fill your glass.
Yeah.
We didn't do any of that. I mean, we walked down, we did the stroll, but we didn't. We didn't want to spend the money on getting a wine glass. And the big reason why is because every table was filled with wine Karens. Oh. It's like, now where are your grapes sourced locally? Can I try another glass of Pinot Noir?
Oh man, wine Karens sound like the worst Karens.
They are the worst Karens. And so there wasn't even a table where we would have been able, had we purchased a glass, been able to step up and try some. So whatever.
Yeah.
Well, as we were heading out, where Chris Brown's brother lives, it's right on one of these beautiful sloping hills.
Yeah.
And there's it's kind of on an alley that's still used as a street. It's paved. It's not like gravel or anything like that. It's smoothly paved, but it's bisected by a small street, right? A suburban residential street.
Sure.
That no one seems to be driving on right now, which is a good thing, because on this sloping alleyway, a bunch of kids are on longboards, flying, like going faster than any other longboard I've ever seen. These kids are starting at the top of the hill. They're propelling, and then they are going down the hill with tremendous amounts of speed.
Wow.
And only a couple of them are wearing helmets, but they are freaking flying. They get down to the hill, and you hear this, like, grind noise of them, you know, stopping the brakes and stuff. And but they don't even have a guy who's sitting there at the street saying, hold on, car coming, or anything like that. They're just kind of assuming that there's no car coming, and I don't even know what happens if there is.
Right.
Standing next to us on this street is a local, got his dog, and he says, Yeah, you know, these kids are just flying. I let them actually borrow a couple of my longboards. Man, but they, I've never seen anybody go as fast as this. Dude, you need to be wearing a helmet, man. Bro, you gotta wear a helmet. To wait for your friend to come back up and then take his helmet and then go back down. Like, thanks, dude. Good meeting you. We're going to head on down to this local bar.
That's fantastic.
And as we're walking away, Chris Brown's brother says, "Hey, you know who that was?" And I said, "No, who was that?" "Dude, that's Lisa Kudrow's brother."
What?
Yes. Wait, longboard dude. Wait, longboard dude here in Larkspur is Lisa Kudrow's brother.
It's not actually his brother, her brother, right?
It's her actual brother. Her actual half brother. They share a dad. Okay. I'm not talking about Giovanni Ribisi.
No.
I'm not talking about Phoebe Buffay's brother.
Right. Not the character, but the actor. That's crazy. So he just kind of hangs around there, and everybody knows that they're half siblings. That's
apparently. Well, he's just a couple houses down from Pat Brown, so that's how he knows. He's like, "Oh yeah, that's Lisa Kudrow's brother. I know him. He's kind of nuts."
That's great. I love that. I love that. That's a great thing that you ran into for just kind of random.
It is. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
He can now say you met. I met Sigourney Weaver's brother, and he was also really weird. So now we have these stories.
There we go. We've met brushes with siblings of fame.
And they're all weird. Everyone.
And they're all weird. Yeah,
exactly. That's amazing. Well, that's cool. So how late were you out? Were you out partying pretty hard? Or what did you do there?
Yeah, I took I went ahead and took an Uber back from Pat's house back here to the hotel about midnight. So I got back here about 12:30, which is 1:30 where I'm used to being from.
Yeah.
But my body still said, "Oh, it's 5:30? That means it's 6:30 back home. You need to wake up."
You still got some of your clock has still got some Irish cream on it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. I sounds like a blast. What a fun little sneak away. It's over today, right? You fly home today.
It's over today. We fly home tonight. So I'm checking out basically as soon as we're done with the show. I'm zipping up that suitcase. I'm throwing any last things in here. This cable that's powering stuff and the some stuff around me here that I've got to throw into the suitcase. Zipping it up, checking out. And then heading back over to Pat's house, we're going up to Bolinas.
Oh, Bolinas.
Bolinas, which is the most California sounding name of a city I've ever heard. Yeah. And I have no idea where or what Bolinas is. But
what do you
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro, we're going up to Bolinas to, by the way, they're all from, all of CB's brothers are from Philly. So none of them talk like this. They don't talk like the local California bros, super bros. Yeah. But but that's how I would imagine. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going up to Bolinas. You know, we're going to get some crepes up in Bolinas and and check out the Redwoods, man.
Yeah, that's cool. So I was going to ask you one other thing about it. Oh, there. So all his brothers are just living in California now, and he's just the one in Colorado.
Nope. He's got two brothers here in California.
Yeah.
A brother back home in Philly, and two sisters.
Oh, okay.
Back home in Philly.
Gotcha.
And they're big Irish Catholic family. So
yeah, they go everywhere is what they do.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's part of the deal.
And it's all your typical Irish Catholic names: Tony, or Anthony, and Christopher, and Michael, and Patrick, and Mary Beth, and
that's awesome.
Yeah,
everyone was an altar boy. It's all good.
Pretty much, yes, exactly.
Great. No sign of you're in Leo Laporte zone out there. Any sign?
Yeah, we're not going so far as going up to Petaluma. Well, I don't know. I don't know how far Petaluma is from Bolinas, but maybe we'll see the Leo Laporte and his big unit.
Yeah. If he sees you, he'll call you this.
Brian Ibbotson.
He'll call you Brian Ibbotson. And talk about my
it's
unit.
True.
Yeah. Will he mention my unit? If he does, you have to record it. So
I will. I will say, hey, you know, I still work with Scott Johnson. Oh yeah, he's got quite
the unit.
Big unit. Yeah.
Scott Johnson's got quite the unit.
That's the best part.
I like the he does. before he can even finish the sentence.
Yeah.
All right, he's got quite the he does. Big unit. Oh, I thought you were gonna say quite the big podcasting empire. Yeah, huh?
That thing just keeps on giving. All right. Well, I'm glad you're doing good. Safe trip today. Let's get to
Thank
it.
You.
We got a couple things. Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention I'm having a bit of a flooding mystery. The reason we didn't do the show yesterday, we were planning on doing one the normal time, not yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
Friday. Day before yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. It was all planned. Everything was good. And about 20 minutes before that, I'm checking all my stuff, looking at all my wires, make sure the router's good, all the stuff I try to do. And I go into this room, and I'm not wearing shoes. I'm wearing socks. And I step on a chunk of carpet that is very wet.
Oh, no.
And also, the basement smells funny, like kind of not like sewer, but like something's like water's been sitting for a long
musty,
time.
Musty, like the musty kind of smell.
Yeah. And that may help with this detective work I need from the chat room and those who hear this to know that it was musty smelling, because that may have something to do with how long this water was here. But my first reaction is like, oh, crap, flooding of some sort, because there's a ton of it. There was a ton of water right there, and it was a big swath of that part of the carpet, and it was near the room that has the, you know, the furnace and the freaking water heater stuff and all that.
Mm-hmm. So
I thought, well, we used to have water heaters, but we last year got those out and in their place put in this real-time one, so it never stores water, it just heats it as you go. That's a long story, and it works really well, and we really like it, but it should mean no big surprises on leaky water moments, right? Like, assuming the guy did it right, it should be fine. So I check in there immediately. Everything's dry as a bone in there. No issues. All good. So it didn't come from in there where all the water piping crap is. I checked up into the walls, poked my head in the ceiling of my office so I could see even further in there. No water damage and or water present anywhere in the roof area or dripping down
walls or anything.
None of that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, okay. Right? So I'm scrambling, like, is it coming?
Do you have a sump, like a sump hole or a sump?
No. Okay. Our old house did. We don't have one here, thankfully. Okay. Our old house had problems with that freaking sump pump thing all the time. I hated it.
I wonder if it somehow came up from, instead of coming down from someplace else, if it came up from somewhere. That's interesting.
Well, that's what we were, so that was my next thought. I'm like, well, is something seeping up through cement? Like, I don't know how much cement is there. But then I thought, well, it wouldn't be just this one little square area. So we spent most of our time trying to find the source. In the meantime, I'm, you know, putting down, baking soda to kind of soak up whatever's there. And then we're going to use the carpet cleaner thing and try to suck it all up and all that.
Yeah.
So all the things that you do. But, okay, so here are the clues that I have so far. It smells like it's been there a while. And that maybe we just noticed it. Because now that I think about it, may have
been... This is an area you don't usually walk through.
Correct. Very low traffic area. Don't go there. And when I do, it's maybe I'm in a hurry and I might even have shoes on then. And I wouldn't notice if I had shoes on. So it's possible it's been there a while. Possibility number two. And so then we're back to, when was that installed? End of July.
Yeah.
Is it possible that dude spilled a crap ton on his way out with the old tanks and didn't say anything, and it's been there that long? Maybe.
No, it would have evaporated. I would have thought
it would have started stinking way before.
For sure. Saturday, since July. Oh yeah, for sure.
I agree with that. So that
that one I'd rule out.
So we played with that for a minute and then ruled that one out. Number two, this is a weird one. Of course, there's like the, well, what if water's coming up from underneath? And I really don't have a way to test for that. Unless, I do. What I have to do is dry this out completely.
Cut out.
Yeah, I have to dry this out completely and then see if it gets wet again. And if it does, well, that tells me a lot. But even if it doesn't, I could cut it out, pull it back, and see.
Yeah, cut that square of carpet out. Is it shag or is it?
No, it's like,
what kind of pile are you looking at?
It's a. This is the most, like, when I was 8 or 9, what the adult men in my life would do when they would talk about carpet is amazing. It's like a normal, just a crappy basement carpet. It's not even, it's okay. It's fine. It just does whatever it does. And I wouldn't know. I couldn't tell you the kind of pile that it has. Also, the word pile, pile is weird, isn't it? Doesn't it give you the weird?
It's really bad. You know, it's, like it just shouldn't be used for carpet for how thick your carpet is. Hey, what's the pile? How thick is your carpet, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, maybe how thick is your carpet? You don't say how thick is the pile on your head, or, you know, how's the pile on your forearms doing? It's weird. Anyway, so we kind of ruled that one out, or at least for now, that one's on the back burner until we see if we dry it out and it stays dry. Third thing is, there is quite often a little two-year-old in this house. And all it would have taken, do I have one here? Nope, I don't. But I have these, sometimes I'll bring down a big chicken little, they give you, the cups they give you when they give you the, your drinks are really great for like reusing them, and you can fill them with water and stuff. Sometimes I will fill one of those with water on a TMS morning, bring it down here, have it here just as, here's water for me all day. Now, it's entirely possible, I was trying to think of when I would have done this, but I could have left it out there, set it down on the table that's right before that area. Put it, who knows? Or there were water bottles from when my daughter and her friends were watching anime like a week ago.
Right. One of them got left over. They didn't see it.
Right. Yeah. Now, that, in that case, I picture him picking up water bottles or anything full of water and walking over here and just dumping it there. I could see a two-year-old doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that theory is not unfortunately supported by a, I have a security camera that looks right down this little stretch. And I went back, scrubbed back. It does 2 weeks of captures, my thing. No sign of a little boy with a thing full of water.
Okay.
So I don't know.
That's
now.
Funny.
I
That's
don't know.
Really funny.
It's definitely not pee or sewage or any of that. We were sure of that. The dogs. Are you,
yeah, the smell, you'd know the smell for sure. Oh, on either 100%. Of those. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And if it was that, if it was all dog pee, A, I'd smell it. But B, it would be, it wouldn't be like this. It'd be a bunch of spots.
Yeah.
Right?
Could the dog have knocked over a bottle of water or something? Or
possible. But there's no bottle there or no cup there.
Oh,
that doesn't
sure.
mean anything. It could have been that Kim saw it once and went, what's this doing here? And just grabbed it and didn't think about it. Like,
Right.
It is the most... Like, we... Oh, whenever there's a house thing, you can always suss it out and find it. Always. I can't with this. I don't know what to do. We had rain.
Mystery water.
Yeah. And someone said, well, have you had a bunch of rain? No. I mean, we've had a couple of things, but nothing any big deal. And so when I thought of that, but like, there's no roof leaks, there's no water up in the rafters, there's no any of that. And even if there was, it would like go down that direction or that direction, and there's no hole right there. And again, the walls are fine. There's no dripping on the walls, there's no like buckling or I'm just completely stumped by it. And it's not by a window at all. That's the other thing.
Sounds like the right move is do what you're already doing. Baking soda, use the carpet cleaner to suck up all the moisture, see if it comes back. If it doesn't come back, who knows? Probably a spilled water bottle, something along those lines.
Because in 10
if
years...
If it does come back, then...
Yeah, then I got to deal. Then I'll have to pull it back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But exactly. In 10 years, I'll be like Chris Brown going, remember that carpet thing? We never figured out what that was. I'm going to hate that. I'm going to hate that. I don't want to live my whole life not knowing what happened to this carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to Scooby-Doo this thing.
You might have to stack it, file it under fart gas, explosive tip, and it's going to be one of life's unanswered mysteries. That might be, you know, that we talk about like, oh yeah, you know, when you die, you go to heaven, you meet St. Peter at the pearly gates and all these theories about what happens. I think maybe when you die, you basically just get a double-sided piece of paper with all of the unanswered questions of your life answered.
Finally.
What was that liquid on the floor? What happened to your favorite shirt?
What did that guy say in the parking lot? Yeah.
That's right. Then you sign it and you approve it, stamp it, get notarized, and then that's it.
I'd love to finally know the answer to all these questions. That'd be great. So why not? I had another one happen yesterday, but it was with Carter and she corrected me, and it started to make me think it's maybe just me, because she said she was in the back of the car. We did have some music going, so there's a little bit of distortion. And she says, Jew destructor. And I went, Jew destructor? What is she talking about?
Yeah.
I turn around and go, Jew destructor? And her and Kim break out in the loudest laughter you've ever heard. And it turns out they said, now I don't remember what it was. It was Jeep, something about a car.
Oh, okay.
Totally innocuous, not even close to Jew destructor.
Wow. How curious that the phrase you hear is Jew destructor.
But that's what I was saying. I don't think it might be me, and it's been me the whole time. I just hear stuff wrong. I don't know. It's not a bad hearing thing. My brain interprets sounds and words
it's a bad comprehension thing or
something's getting translated bad, but anyway.
Yeah,
so that's my story. If anyone at home, any of you patrons have any idea what you think it is, any carpet experts, flood experts, whatever, let me know, because so far, like today, this morning, it's still out there kind of in soak up mode before I do the thing. And it's already a lot drier. There's no new water. It's just, it smells better. Like everything smells less mildewy, not mildewy, but whatever that
smells. And the color, you know, even though there's no odor, I'm certainly not expecting you're going to taste it, but the, the water doesn't, it's not a different color, like a giveaway color, like, Kool-Aid red or juice or something like that.
Right, or even darker or lighter. Yeah, none of that. It's just just a pure, clear, you put your hand in it, pull your hand up, and you got like glistening whatever, and you can wipe it on like a white cloth, and it's water, it's clear. So it makes me think, I mean, I could be wrong. I still think something with the boy, not that he's, you know, he's not like a turd and goes around and dumps water on things, but he's young and doesn't know stuff, and he's not going to tell me, like, when he comes back up. And sometimes he goes downstairs and we're like, oh, he went downstairs again. Somebody go watch him. We'll go watch him. And he's usually playing with his toys and saying dinosaur over and over. And sometimes maybe he goes over there and dumps like half a gallon of water. But then I don't have video proof of it. So I don't know.
Maybe there's a toy he has that has water in it. Like, you know, some sort of super soaker, but it's like something along those lines that just some toy that he likes playing with that somehow has water in it, and he was playing with it down there and some of the water got out.
Could have been. It's just a lot.
I don't know.
It's just weird. It's so much water that I just can't freaking figure it out. All right, the mystery continues. Let's dive into we haven't done this for a while, so we're going to review some app slappers. Listen to this, everybody. Oh, is your coffee weird? What happened there?
I get to the bottom of the coffee.
Yeah. App slappy. What's in there?
And the coffee grounds. A lot of them.
Ooh.
Yeah. This came from Rustic Bakery, Organic Fine Foods and Baked Goods. And that's the camera.
You're not going there anymore.
Well, I'm not, because we don't have them in Colorado. But yeah, now I got a mouthful of. Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. That's the bitterest pill. Right there. You don't want that.
It is. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't have anything else to drink in here.
Water or nothing?
There's faucet water. I get some faucet water, but I've got to move my entire table to do it.
Well, all right. You're just going to man through here?
No, I'm going to get some water. You keep talking because I'll be able to hear you no matter where I go.
Yeah, that's true. Wherever you go, you're going to hear me. All right. Go do that.
Yes.
So we haven't done app slapping in a while, everybody. We're going to do it today. I have been on a bit of a tear in the Apple arcade lineup store, because turns out there's a bunch of new, like, pretty great games being launched in there recently, and I'm super into them. Now, all of you at home, Apple or Android users, have probably seen, heard of, or played at least once an old endless runner called Temple Run, and you're going to say, Scott, wait a minute. Please tell me you didn't play Temple Run and you think it's worthy of discussion here or recommendation.
Temple Run Plus.
Yeah, Temple Run Plus. No, it's actually not that. Here's what it is. It's kind of weird. I don't know why it exists. It doesn't need to be based around Temple Run, but it is. It's called Temple Run Puzzle Adventure, and it just hit, is out now. I'll play a little video for the chat at home here. And it's a match three game. There are a few of these now that are like, you know, full blown match three games, not remakes of old games, like the cat one. Yeah. What was the cat one that we liked quite a bit? Jerry and his cat, or whatever.
Something story. It's based on Simon's Cat, and what was it called?
Simon's Cat and the
Simon's Cat Story, or something like that. Yeah,
the fresh monkey of Bel Air.
The fresh turd.
Yeah,
the Simon's Cat and the Story Tale of the French Turd.
There it is. We found it. So these games already exist on the store. That one's less match three and more like stuff is clumped up, make them disappear kind of game. There was a recent zoo one, kind of an 8-bit looking kind of Minecrafty zoo looking one, where you ran a zoo and you did puzzles to earn new stuff in the zoo, and that one was also quite good. Well, along comes this Temple Run thing. I'm like, what is this? This is probably bad. I'm gonna download it and just give it a shot, because Temple Run, who cares anymore about Temple Run? Downloaded it and got completely hooked on Temple Run Puzzle Adventure. It's a very, very good one of those. If you're looking for like the mechanics of the match three part of it, top notch, mm-hmm. as good as they get. If you like matching three gems up or more and doing cool combos and crazy shit and trying to clear all the stuff out and not having a single microtransaction, then this is great. And again, the temple run part of it is not important because you never run anywhere. It's just every time you get a star, when you go back out to the overworld, she runs an extra little bit of space. But you're not controlling that. You control that by how well you did in the puzzle.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? So it's not just she's running to the next puzzle. It's...
Yeah, she's running. Sometimes it's just running for running's sake. Sometimes there is. Like right now in this video, she's on a crank. And to turn this crank, you need to do about three or four puzzles to get that crank all the way turned. And that opens a giant door. And then she finds treasure. So there's like this stuff happening as a result of your puzzle clearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the game really does just come down. It boils down to clear a ton of puzzles and be smart about it and tactical and don't use up all your turns or you'd have to try it again. And there's boosters and all that stuff. And again, none of it tied to currencies.
The temple run.
Yeah.
Microtransactions.
Yeah.
So that's cool because, you know, I love these games and that does tend to be the trend is that you find them and they're not an Apple Arcade. And so that means they are going to be laden with, well, if you buy $3.99 worth of crystals, you can bypass all of these or you can play an extra turn or something like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is a genre that I like that doesn't succumb to the transaction EBS, I really like.
Yeah. I also like playing it on my desktop. And having those saves carry over, and I can move back to my phone,
that's cool.
And my iPad, and whatever, because all that stuff's connected. Use controller if you need to, you know, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the benefits of it being on that store are there, but it's also just like a throwback to a very classic Bejeweled kind of game that never really gets old if you're, you know, I mean, we've all played Match 3s to death. I understand that. I've been playing Bejeweled since I had my Palm Pilot 2 or whatever, however long ago that was. But it's still just a really venerable game type, and it's fun. It's fun to play. It's fun to rip through and do really well on one or have a bunch of chain reactions and have it work out or whatever. But at the same time, yes, you could look at it and go, oh, all right, this is like all the rest of them. I mean, I guess you could say that, but it's a good one of them. If you like to, like, you
can go play, executed well.
Yeah, play Candy Crush if you want, but they're going to try to make you go broke if you do that.
Yeah, exactly. So the version or the demo video that I'm watching right now, they're playing with a cursor and it's like click on that gem and then click on the one next to it and then they swap. You can do swipe, like you don't have to do
tap.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so that's just probably somebody doing desktop the desktop.
And even if you do the desktop version, you can. I tried it there, and you can still move them.
You can drag.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's just definitely.
No, this is good. This is the kind of thing I like.
Yeah, I figured you'd like this because I know you're a fan of it, and they get pretty creative.
I do like the Match 3.
They get creative with it. They have a lot of wacky stuff you got to try to pull off. And again, I understand. You know, some people are going to see this and go, "Been there, done that 1,000 times." I know, but if you like it, then this is one of those, and it's good. What they need to do is make a proper what was that old thing called? Puzzle Quest. They make a Puzzle Quest on here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I know they're like, you know, some games are like that, Gems of War, but that has micro stuff, and and 2 is never any good. I want like a good old fashioned. The Marvel one's good. That's a pretty good game. But again, they want you to pay money, so... anyway, it's very cool. Go check it out. Again, Temple Run Puzzle Adventure available on Apple Arcade. And I don't think anywhere else yet, like in terms of other platforms, certainly not Android because that's the deal. But there's no Steam version or anything like that. It's just kind of a phone game. And I like it.
Ooh, I'll bet you this Asphalt 8 Airborne Plus is great with the Backbone. I didn't bring my Backbone on this trip, but I should have.
Oh, yeah. That game's very good with the Backbone. As soon as I see a racing game in there, I'm like, oh, Backbone time. We're going to try that out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Brian, what did you mess with this week?
This week, basically, because we haven't done an App Slappy in a long time, I'm finally going to officially talk about the thing that I've been playing for the last few weeks, which is Marvel Future Revolution. I've maybe mentioned it once or twice on the show. You and I think have both talked about it. But, hey, what do you know? A Marvel game and Brian's going to recommend it. Whoa. how novel. Yeah. Anyway, so this is an MMO kind of in the lines of the old PS2 Marvel Ultimate Alliance and things like that. However, it is for an arcade game, or for a not Apple Arcade, for a mobile game, it is ridiculously deep, ridiculously robust as far as the different ways you can play. There's a campaign. Oh, basically, you've got your choice of 8 Marvel heroes to pick from. Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Storm, Star-Lord, and... I forget.
Rocket Raccoon's in the beginning of this thing, but do you play him?
Yeah. No, he's not playable as of yet.
Because they do seem to have some characters that show up but are not necessarily playable yet.
Yeah, I can't remember who the 8th one is, but...
Did you say Doctor Strange or no? Maybe you did.
I think I started with Doctor Strange because he's my main. My main is Doctor Strange.
That's Liam O'Brien every time he talks, by the way.
I know, it's great. Well, I have sound off, but when I had it on, that's so cool. I had no idea until you told me that.
Pretty cool.
So there's a campaign. You take your hero through the campaign and you go through all of these different areas. The storyline behind it is based on the Marvel Convergence storyline that was several years ago, where different universes, the Earths from different universes, were colliding into each other. And in some cases, you'd get one destroying the other, or you'd get an amalgamation of those two universes. And that's mostly what you're seeing here. Mm-hmm. You're seeing New Stark City, which is a kind of a New York City, Manhattan, mixed with future Stark technology kind of looking stuff.
Sure.
You've got the Hydra Empire, which, as you can guess, is, you know, Red Skull and his Hydra army and stuff like that. You've got one that's based on Xandar from Guardians of the Galaxy, Sakaar, where Savage Hulk, or the Hulk, Planet Hulk, I think was Sakaar. Midgardia, which is kind of like, as you can guess, like a Thor kind of thing.
Sure.
And so you've got that campaign, and you're basically, right now, level cap is 100. You're working towards that 100. But you've got a couple extra character slots, and you can pick other characters and play them through the same campaign. There is an autoplay, so you don't have to do the campaign over and over and over again. It's kind of, you know, you just basically say, yeah, play it. You might need to step in when there's like a mini boss or something like that to kind of keep your character from dying. But you're learning skills, you're applying points to those skills. Like if we do the WoW analogy, you know, you're working on, you've got 4 armor slots, head, chest, legs, and hands. And then you've got gems you can put in those. You've got these things called battle badges to help with that sort of thing. If there's one complaint I have about the game, it's that they've almost got too many different kinds of currencies and ways to level up your characters. So before you get your mind wrapped around all of it, it's like, now wait, do I boost that with an Omega card, or do I boost that with a battle badge, or whatever that sort
of thing. That stuff, that can get so overwhelming in these mobile games when they start adding like 10 currencies.
Yeah. I'm guessing that a future version, like basically at some point they're going to do kind of a squish and say, all right, we've made this one area cover 3 different former ways of upgrading your character.
Yeah.
The other benefit of the multiple characters deal is that as you level those secondary and third characters, your alts, it actually helps with your squad level, which is your overall character level. So it even helps your main. It's like saying, oh yeah, I main a warrior in World of Warcraft, but I also have a mage and a demon hunter. And as you get those other characters leveled, they level up your main warrior as well.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I see. That's interesting. That's actually a really great way to you know, motivate you to want to play multiple characters. That's great.
It does. And it helps those alts because, all right, you take your main character, get them up to a really high level. All of a sudden, the alts you're starting off with aren't starting at 0. They're starting with enough power to get them through a lot of the campaign without having to do any augmentation.
Sure.
Now, where the game really, really shines is the different ways you can play. And again, if I do analogies comparing it to World of Warcraft, there are instances like dungeons There are raids where you're fighting kind of multiple bosses as a team. It'll automatically pair you up with people about the same level to do raids and special operations and things like that. There's one-on-one PvP, there's group PvP in arena style, and there's even something that is kind of, if I were to compare, it's kind of like a Torghast, but you can't solo it. You do need a team, but you're basically going through one of these levels, clearing trash and then mini bosses for better gear. You don't get the great thing about Torghast is little augmentations you get along the way, and unfortunately you don't get those. But
right,
but
it wasn't about the journey; it was about the augmentations we found along the way.
Found along the way, exactly. You this thing is generous with the gems, right? So there are microtransactions. And you may be tempted to pick one or two up here and there. I've picked up a couple, but certainly haven't spent money in this game like I used to over in Marvel Strike Force or any of those back in the day.
Yeah.
But this game is super generous with the gems. And even just going through the campaign, you're going to unlock enough gems to give you enough slots to alt every character. So you'll have 8 slots and you can just play one of each character and see which ones you like. They're adding new characters of the game. The next one that's coming up is Magic, Ilyana Rasputin.
Oh.
Colossus's little sister.
Yeah.
And so when she comes out, everyone's going to be pulling up alts, you know, creating alts of hers. And you can even, like, oh, I'm getting low on gold. I'm just going to park my character in an area where enemies spawn. And leave it overnight and come back the next morning and have another 100,000 gold.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Idle, not clicker, but, you know, let it accumulate.
Let it autoplay. Yeah, let it autoplay and beat the crap out of enemies for that sort of thing.
Sure.
You know, you've got transmogging in here. You can make, even though your Doctor Strange and all of the, I should say, all the costumes are based on different... or the armor sets, I should say, but they call them costumes, are based on comic series from Marvel's history. So you've got, you know, your Captain Marvel can look like Ms. Marvel or Binary or Kree Carol Danvers or things like that.
Sure.
And so...
That's pretty cool. I like that.
It's cool. Yeah, the Doctor Strange looks are great. There's, you know, that old 1602 comic where... I think it was Neil Gaiman who did that.
Love that.
And had old versions of all the characters. Yeah, I love his 1602, like, old steampunk alchemist kind of look. So that's what I had on him for a while.
Enormous fan of that run. I loved reading that. It was so good.
It's so cool. And you can transmog, so you can have his actual armor be a really good one, but then transmog him into anything that you've collected, whether or not you still have it, whether or not you've gotten rid of it, sold it, or dismantled it for parts.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
The modes are probably maybe its greatest advantage, and maybe it's even its greatest flaw, is that there are too many. I'm looking at it. So between Blitz and Special Operations and Battle Challenge and Raid, and then your Omega War, Dimension Duel, Dark Zone, there in the campaign, you've got about 10 different nodes you can play, or modes you can play. You don't have to, but you know, if you go into each one once a day, then you earn some more gems by completing daily quests and things like that.
That's cool. Yeah, I played a bunch of this as well. I will admit the currency stuff got a little overwhelming, but they always do in these games. It's developed by Netmarble, who is a Korean developer. And this is interesting in the way that big IPs like this now are now being made in Korea. Some Chinese developers, that sort of stuff, seems to be like the hot new thing, instead of giving it to EA or giving it to some other established American developer or publisher. They're going overseas with this stuff, and they're getting, I don't know if it's good or bad, but they're getting way more for their money, like in the development costs. But I think this looks really good for a game.
It's great.
Yeah. It's
cool. Really robust. And I think that's what it doesn't feel like a mobile game. There's limited controller support. You can control your character, but there are you know, you've got like six or seven different attacks you can do with cooldowns. So you could map those eventually, if they do bring out more controller support, you could map those to the, you know, your four buttons and then your shoulder buttons and things like that.
Right.
Kevin Chu, you know, brings up, yeah, it becomes a job and forces you to play when you don't want to. I can see that happening with this. That's absolutely what happened with Marvel Strike Force. But for that, it felt like you're just not going to progress unless you get in there and do these 14 daily tasks every day for things to boost your character. Here, I don't feel like I need to do it to boost my character.
Oh, that's cool.
I maybe go in and do, you know, half an hour worth of stuff in the morning, maybe let it sit while I'm having lunch and let it battle stuff out and that sort of thing. So
sure. Yeah. That seems cool. I would, when I was playing it, I kept feeling like, just put this game on a PC, man. Like,
yes. Or like, a desktop or something. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That's what you mean. A PC.
Yeah.
But console would be, you
would
know,
be great
good
too.
As well.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why they don't. I mean, even if they're still free to play and even if they're still full of, you know, this transactional stuff, so what? It's not on mobile? Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like, I would actually mm-hmm. play this more in that format, I think, because I don't love controlling a game with this much stuff going on without full controller support. The screen stuff can drive you nuts after a while.
For sure. For sure.
Anyway.
Boy, there's especially a lot in of, some of the... What's that?
I was going to say there's a lot of... what's his name? I can't think of his name. Bad guy. Giant head, little feet. What's his name?
Oh, MODOK.
MODOK.
Yeah, MODOK's pretty prominent in the early levels of the game. He's one of your big bads in Hydra. Even though he's an AIM guy, he's, you know, AIM and Hydra. He's pretty prominent in that part of the game. So yeah.
It's always an interesting choice. It feels like he comes up more often these days than usual. Maybe it's because of the TV show and they want to...
I think because of the TV show. Yeah. And for a while there was even going to be a... never mind. They put him into the EA Marvel Avengers game.
Oh,
I was thinking
right.
there was going to be some other game with him, but it was that was the one that I was seeing clips from.
Yeah, well, it's a really cool thing. Unreal Engine 2, which is nice. Unreal Engine 4, I should say, not 2.
Yeah.
Very cool. Get it. It's out and available freely for Android and iOS users alike. Again, Marvel Future Revolution.
Yes.
I start to forget which name is what game, but that's...
I know. Because a lot of them start sounding the same.
Yeah.
There's Future Fight and Future Revolution and Contest of Champions and Strike Force and...
It's a little much after a while.
It is a little much. Marvel doesn't seem to have any problem selling its IP to game developers, different game developers. But man, I can't wait for the Guardians of the Galaxy game. I can't wait for the Wolverine game that got announced.
Yeah, I'm legit excited about both of those. And I'm still a little nervous about the Guardians game, but the more I see it, the more I want to play it. I'm pretty stoked. So keep it up, Marvel, with your cool games to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to answer some questions. Whoops. Where'd it go? There it is.
You see, that's what you call a loaded question.
Quick questions from the chat room. I still have some left over that we're going to read from last time. So
cool.
Enjoy these for the next 10 minutes or so.
Yes.
Matthew Murphy wrote in, said, are there any video game, book, or movie genres that do nothing for you? I know, Brian. Did we do that one?
This one I think we did, yeah.
Hold on.
Because he brought up the yokel humor, and I remember us talking about...
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
How Westerns, there's exceptions, but...
Yeah, I left that one in there. Okay, let me do a real new one here. Is Brian still watching MODOK? Oh, this is an older question, so...
Yeah, well...
You watched it, though, right?
Did
you finish
it?
No, you're not.
I stopped. I got four or five episodes in, and like, yeah, I love Patton Oswalt, and of course I love the character MODOK, and the Robot Chicken style, but the humor just wasn't doing it for me. It just wasn't funny.
Well, that
and
needs
I'm
to kinda, be...
I'm so bummed about that because I really wanted to like it for obvious reasons.
It really needs to be funny, or else what are we even doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no point to the damn thing. all right, that was Tom who asked that question, Tom Gilland. We got one here from Samuel Thorington who says, Scott says he's been reading a lot of comics. What is the favorite thing you've read recently? Brian, have you heard any comics lately? Oh, I think he means read. I think heard is supposed to be read.
Yeah, probably read any comics lately. Yeah.
Well, let's start with you. Are you? I know everyone knows I've been reading like crazy, but what's your comic consumption been like?
I have downloaded the with Marvel Unlimited, downloaded some early issues of the Hellfire Gala stuff, but I haven't read any of it yet. But maybe on the plane tonight, actually, that might be good.
Yeah. That planes
are
perfect.
Get some comic reading in.
Yeah, a plane ride is. I can't think of a more perfect comic time than that. I'm gonna see if I can find the name of the one I'm reading right now because I really recommend it. Here it is. Okay, there is a new limited series out on DC Infinite, their app, from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, who famously did the new 52 and beyond stuff that was going on with Batman during that transition. And they've been collaborating on a whole bunch of titles since. They're kind of a killer team up when it comes to especially Batman stuff. And Scott Snyder right now is one of the best writers in comics. But anyway, he wrote this story called Batman Last Night on Earth. It's a limited series. It's under the DC Black label, which means, you know, they can be a little more adult in some contexts than your normal comic can be. So a couple of swears or whatever, a little more violent, a little bloodier or whatever. It's really good. The best way to describe it is Batman gets in a... I'll sum it up in a way that doesn't spoil anything, but he's basically in a fight. That fight ends badly. He wakes up in a hospital with what appears to be someone...
Hold on, somebody knocking on my door. Oh, you keep talking.
Yeah, go ahead. No mint for pillow, they'll say. Mint for pillow? All right, so Brian's getting his door. Let's see if we can hear it, actually. Listen.
You'll be able to hear it because I have my...
Yeah, you got your earbuds on.
Hi.
Yep, thank you.
Oh, they were there for turn down and everything.
Yep, they were. It's like, no, I still have till 11 to check out yet.
Yeah, get out of here, lady. So my point was, so Batman's in this fight. It goes poorly. He wakes up with a doctor who looks like the Joker but isn't, and then a bunch of people in a hospital who look like the Penguin and all these other people, but they're not, or at least you think they're not. And so you're like, is he going crazy? Is he dreaming this? Is he dead? He finds a lantern with the Joker's head in it. If this sounds weird, it's because it is, and it gets real interesting, and I'm loving it. I'm on issue... second to last issue, but it's very good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Batman Last Night on Earth. Definitely worth checking out.
Very cool.
Checking out. Get it? Because you're in a hotel. Got it? Check it out.
Checking out. Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Believe when I'm damn ready.
All right. How about this one? What was the hardest challenge you guys faced to build your careers? How did you overcome it? Ooh, a serious one from RDP 50508. What would you say to that?
That's a great question. Yeah. Is figuring out the balance. Because when you're starting doing this stuff, you either take a very expensive leap and give up everything else to devote your time to it, or you try and balance it with the things that you need to do to make money. So in our cases, you know, continuing to work with freelance or work at a job in my case, and do podcasting at night. And then there's the other balance of family versus hobby versus something you want to turn into a career. And if you don't have a great support structure, like Scott and I had, and like a lot of relationships have, then you could jeopardize one or both of your, you know, those things, your family life or your hobby or your work. So,
right.
I would agree
with that. That's a really good one. The other thing I would say is also just time balancing. When you're suddenly working for yourself, you think that your 24 hours means that you can do everything all day and keep adding to it. And you can create a little bit of burnout for yourself if you're not careful. 'Cause you're kind of, you know, you're now working without someone who's telling you what to do. And it turns out you're kind of your own worst boss because you sort of make yourself think you can do a bunch of stuff that you should just have a better life work balance. And that has been really hard for me to do. To this day, I still struggle with it. Like I just have too many projects, too many things, too much
totally
stuff that I want to do. And in any other work
balance
environment.
Balance within the balance. Yeah.
Yeah. Get balance in the balance, baby. Here's a question from Chad Hatcher, who says, have you tried tripe? And Brian should have Irish white pudding instead of black pudding. I've never had tripe, nor either of those two puddings.
I've never had, I don't think I've ever had tripe either. I had, listen, Irish breakfast includes both black and white pudding. And I think both Tina and I liked the white better. She tried the black and wouldn't even, she wouldn't go back. Yeah. Once you've had black pudding. Yeah. but I would still, with Irish breakfast, I'd still have white pudding with as well. Or yeah, that, I'd have both and I'd still have the black pudding, even though I think I ended up preferring the white.
But you're once you go black pudding, you never go back pudding.
Yes, exactly.
It took a while to sink in. I'm finally like, oh, I get it.
Now you see, exactly. I get it.
Tripe. Okay, so tripe is described or is defined as a type of edible lining from the stomachs of various farm animals. Most tripe is from cattle, pigs, and sheep. No, I don't want that. I really don't want that.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's a lot of dishes with tripe. I guess it's perfectly acceptable to many cultures and food folks, but not me, man. Oh, yeah. Look at this. This is... you can get a related dish called tacos de tripa, which is Mexican tacos filled with soft or crunchy fried small intestines.
Ooh, yeah, no, thanks.
Yeah, not really into stomach contents and intestines. Those all seem to come from a time where people really had to scrounge to stay alive. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And now that we have a Shake Shack on every corner, we don't need tripe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. In the chat, I may have had it in China, not known. They gave me all sorts of stuff. And didn't tell me what it was. Yeah, but
I think I may have even had it. There's that place Tacos El Gordo in Las Vegas, and you know you can get your beef and your pork and stuff like that. But they also have like great lengua, which is tongue, is great and tender. And I know they have a tripa as well. I might have tried that based on James and Svet's recommendations.
Ugh, tongue though. I can't. Yeah. I know it's good. That's the thing. I know tongue can be good.
Yeah.
Blah. Blah. Well, just the idea.
Well, Scott, you get tongue in your mouth all the time.
Oh! It's in there now. It's in there right now.
Exactly.
Oh, my Lord.
No, I meant besides your own tongue. It's not your own tongue.
Oh, well, my dog and I get along. I have a dog.
We have a very close relationship.
Very affectionate, this animal. I can tell you that. All right, that's it for your questions. We'll have more next time, and probably Dan next week. I think he'll be around. Yeah, I think so. Actually, wait, next week would be a playdate week, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, right. Have we set something up? Did we say it's Friday?
Crap, I don't remember now what we did.
I know we talked with Monica about that. Let me look really quick.
If you have that handy, I don't seem to see it. But yeah, I think we're doing play date and I don't remember.
October 1st.
Okay. Is that a Saturday or Friday?
That is, God, you need me to find everything out?
Hey, Brian, can you look all things up and then say them quick?
It's a Friday. It is Friday. It's this coming Friday. Okay. It is, yep.
So Friday at 2, that's what we'll do. All right. That is it for the show. Claire's already asking for Among Us. Yeah, we could probably play Among Us. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't done that at least one.
Yeah, we skipped at least one. So we'll definitely do that. Yeah. Thank you all for your support and being here. And also this weird time of day. Thanks for letting us sort of do a little makeup for you this weekend. And we'll be back tomorrow. Brian will be home. We'll be back to the normie norm of the usual production. So come back.
I will be exhausted tomorrow morning, but I will be here.
Yeah, you'll do it. I've seen you in some pretty tired states, and he still shows up, man. That's what he does.
That's right. Exactly.
Count on Brian is what I always say. All right, let's get out of here, though. You bring a little song for the tail end of things here?
I did. This is a request. Oh, I just closed the window. Dang it.
Oh, no.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. History. I bet I can just pull it up in history. Yeah,
should be able to.
Yeah.
One would think.
One would think.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You never know, but one would think. I'm sure it's the best song ever.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Hey.
Here we go.
Oh, he got it. Did you find it?
I found it. All right. Anyway, back to what I was saying as I pull up my list here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah, okay. Because it's Hello. It's by Lionel Richie. Hello.
Hello. It's me.
And it's going out to, there it is right there. Stovetop Steve says, I recently heard the most boring song in the world on the radio, but it was so beautifully sung by Lionel Richie that I didn't change the station. I didn't realize I was a fan, but here we are. On any available day, please play the most non-boring cover related to the Commodores or Lionel Richie. I'm so glad he asked me to play a non-boring one, because, yes, I totally will.
Yeah.
This is great. This is a longtime favorite of us on the show. Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. They do a fantastic cover of Hello by Lionel Richie. And they even add a little something at the end for, you know, it's kind of like a little stinger at the end of the song. So I hope you enjoy it. Here are Me First and the Gimme Gimmes and their cover of Hello.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Now it's me who's scrambling for his thing. There it is. Okay, I found it. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching, listening, and hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Time and time again, how much I care. I sometimes feel my heart will overflow. Hello, I've just got to let you know. Cause I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you do. Are you somewhere feeling lonely, or is someone loving you? Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me start by saying I love you. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
Yeah, what kind of a deal?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.